Good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. Good to see you this morning, and welcome. Welcome if you've joined us for the first time this morning as well. It's good to have you here, and always happy to, not just myself, but anybody, if you've got some questions you want to ask, always feel free to reach out, ask questions as well. As I was thinking to myself that isn't it great that our church, our fellowship, has always been about wanting to exalt Jesus and only Jesus? That really it's about one person that we're interested in at the end of the day. One person alone that we're interested in, that Jesus is glorified. People get to see the goodness of Jesus, the goodness of God. People come to know him and continue to grow. And if I was to bring everything I probably desire in this fellowship and in this church, is for you and me to grow more and more in our understanding and love for Jesus, you know. And then when we do that, we find ourselves we make it known to other people just by the way we live and what we share and so forth. And so it's really one person we're interested in, Jesus. And thank God we don't make it about people. Thank God we don't make it about me or someone else. Thank God, because the last thing I'd ever want this church to be is a church that makes it about someone, yeah, or two people or three people. It's never about that. If we're going to thank anybody in this church, of course, we're thanking Jesus. If we're going to glorify, exalt anybody in this church, we're going to exalt and glorify Jesus. That's what we should be all the time in our lives and as a church and whatever we're doing. What we're interested in more and more is about the Lord. And so this morning, I want to encourage your faith. I want to help share things, I hope, that will build your faith to want to grow closer and closer to him, to Jesus, and to Jesus alone. And it's been a few weeks since I've shared with you. And we were talking, going through the book of Daniel together. And today I just want to review or recap some things about what I've shared so far in the book of Daniel before we sort of move on. So at some point this morning, we're going to read from Daniel chapter 1. We're going to just sort of skim through some things that I've been sharing with you, some key thoughts and ideas that I've been sharing with you in the book of Daniel before we get back to Daniel 6 again, where we finished off a few weeks ago. Join me as we pray, and then we'll go to Daniel chapter 1 and look at some thoughts as we go through and just review some of the things that that I've been sharing with you, hopefully encouraging your faith this morning as you listen carefully to the voice of God. And be all of us be people who say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. Our Lord and our God, we just thank you so much for being present with us every day of our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you call us out of a dark place, out of a miserable place where we're just thinking about ourselves all the time. And you bring us to a place where our first love, our love is for you, because by doing that, we love others well. And Father, we pray that this morning, just like what we learn and learning through the stories found, the events found in this beautiful book of Daniel, that our hearts are stirred to have no one before you, and have you completely surrendered, or us completely surrendered to you, the love of our life. And so, Father, this morning, open our hearts to hear your voice, to hear your word. And we commit not just today, Father, but we commit our future into your hands. Because you're the God of the end, as you are from the beginning. You are the Alpha and the Omega. And I thank you for that. And I pray this morning, you are the Lord of all the said and done. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's open up Daniel chapter 1. And let's have a look at what I guess I wanted to share with you initially in Daniel chapter 1. And if you were to put a word to this, perhaps the word is faithfulness. Now, you all know that, or most of you would know that as we've been looking through this, all I've been trying to do is not go through verse by verse in the book of Daniel, but all I've been trying to do is look at some key events in the book of Daniel and look at what was going on historically. What's going on historically here? And what does that mean for us today? Because this happened many, many years ago, but what does it mean for us today? Surely there are things that God has placed in this book, in this story. Surely he's put things that happened. When they happened in real time, historically, God put them there so we can learn something from them, yeah? And I hope what you're not taking away from these kind of ideas that I'm sharing with you is just filling your head with knowledge. I hope what you're doing is saying, yes, that's the sort of person I want to be. That's the kind of person I want to be. That's the kind of person I need to be in this world. And that you're never becoming so arrogant and proud that you think, oh, no, I know this book. I could preach better than that. I could say it better than that. Because you know what? You probably could. You probably could preach it better than me. You probably could talk about it better than me. But are we living it? Yeah, are we living it? That's what I'm interested in. And for Christians, that's all we're interested in. We're interested in the idea that we're living out God's word. People are seeing us living out God's word in such a genuine, authentic way that they can point the finger and they can't say they're not a Christian or that's not Christian. Yeah, what they're saying to about us is, well, yeah, I don't like who they are. I don't kind of love what they're doing, but boy, at least it's Christian. Because that's who we are as believers. Whether people can see us or not see us, but whether people are watching us or not watching us, whether in our homes behind closed doors, or whether we're out in the streets, wherever, whatever it is, we're living out our faith because it's true to us. And that's what I love about the book of Daniel. He lived his faith out just naturally. You know, I was pondering through the week, it's just a speculation, but I don't think Daniel thought hard about his faith. I don't think Daniel every day thought, okay, how am I going to live my faith? How am I going to live my faith? How am I going to live my faith? I don't think Daniel did that. I think Daniel just lived his faith. And what happened? He came across issues. Like he sort of came across them because he just lived out his faith. He didn't have to think hard about it in that sense. Obviously, he would have thought hard about what he needed to do, but he didn't think hard about his faith. He just lived it out. And when he confronted something, he lived his faith. And how beautiful is that? And so I think Daniel is a great example for us of how we live out our faith naturally. And what we see here is this beautiful idea of faithfulness. Because when Israel in part, when the Jewish people in part were taken captive and taken into Babylon, the Babylonians took a portion of them initially. Yeah, and then I think my understanding is they just kind of gradually took more and more into exile. They took more and more into captivity. But in this first portion of people they took was, of course, Daniel and his young man and his friends. But they weren't going from like to like, were they? They weren't going from one place to another place and it was like all good, everything was fine, and just going into prison. They were going from a place that believed in one God to a place that believed in many gods. The approach of polytheism in Babylon was just real. They weren't just serving one God. They had a God for everything. So all of a sudden, there's this whole massive change of culture. It's like, what are we going to do? We're going into a place that we're prisoners and they serve all these gods, which is for us like not only a defilement, but it's something that we just can't be part of. It's not us. And then they weren't coming from a place that, of course, that were a place where they took the word of God and the law of God very seriously. They weren't a people that where you can be promiscuous and just go around with any person, partner that you wanted. They weren't a people like that, yet they were going into a culture that were like that. So what were they going to do? How are their women going to be treated? How are their young girls going to be treated? And so they were going into this place where it was just full of, I would imagine, a lot of panic to start with, because they were going into a whole culture, a whole way of living that was very different to theirs. And I think God puts that there for many reasons, but for one reason is because we are called out of a world today that in some respects to it, while it's beautiful in some ways, in some respects, it's very different to who we are as Christians. Very different. And so we're constantly having to say to ourselves, well, I can't get sucked into this. I can't get sucked into a culture that wants me to be different to who I am as a Christian. I've got to be true to my faith, true to who I am, and live it out as I ought to live it out. And Daniel did this. He lived out his faith as he ought to live it out. He was faithful. Even though they tried to do things like, you know, Daniel's name, the origin of his name, you might remember, the origin of his name was God is my judge, or Yahweh is my judge. And then they changed his name to Belshazzar, meaning Bel protect the king, or the god Bel be favored. So they even changed his name. But you know what? They couldn't change his heart, could they? They couldn't change his heart. Change my name. In fact, call me whatever you want to call me, good or bad. But you can't change my heart. My love for God is going to continue regardless of what you call me. My commitment to God is going to remain true and faithful, whatever you want to label me. Whatever you want to say about me. Oh, no, rather, Daniel was prepared to stand regardless of the pressures that were coming from without as well as the pressures that he would have experienced within. What are we going to do? Well, we've got to be faithful. Yeah, we've got to be faithful. And so initially when they thought, well, let's get these guys ready. Let's get them ready for the king. They wanted them to eat all this sort of food. And Daniel, of course, didn't want that to happen. So Daniel chapter 1, we read verse 8. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says that he had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, I did share with you why this might have been an issue and why he didn't want to defile himself with the food, but I'm not going to go into that today, other than the fact that he was prepared to be bold enough to say, in light of what the king in captivity was requiring of them, he was prepared to say, I can't do that. I just can't do that. How encouraging is that? Someone asks you to do something you know is wrong. You know in your heart of hearts it's wrong. You just say, I can't do that. Oh, why? Oh, man, nobody knows. Nobody can see. Who cares? You're not hurting anybody. I just can't do that. And so Daniel, in his heart, purposed that he wasn't going to do this, despite the risk attached to it. Now, our risk is probably nothing like his risk. His risk would have, I would imagine, would have been it could have been death. And I don't imagine for most of us the risk would be death when we say to somebody, I can't do that. Maybe a little bit of humility, maybe our pride, maybe pricked a little bit, maybe a friend that's lost. But he's saying, I can't do that. Because his faith was meant more to him than what they were asking from him. I think that's good, yeah? I think that's good. Beautiful church when we do that. We encourage each other. Hey, you right with that? Do you need help with that? You want me to pray for you for that? I know, mate, you sounds like you're going through a lot there, a lot of pressure. Let me pray for you. Rather than going around pointing the fingers, oh, look what they're doing, look what they're doing, look what they're doing. Hey, do you need help? I heard you're a lot of pressure at the moment. Do you want me to pray? Let's get together. Let's help each other so we can stand for what is true to our faith. I think that's beautiful. Because what I see in Daniel is a love for God with all his heart. I see for Daniel a love for God with all his heart. And then we moved into chapter 2. And if you turn to chapter 2. And so in Daniel chapter 2, what happens is Nebuchadnezzar decides to build this really big statue, doesn't he? Remember that? About 30 meters high, about 3 meters wide. And I asked the question, who would do that? Like, who would build a statue that high? Who would build a statue that grand? What kind of person decides to reflect the significance and the magnificence of his culture, of his empire? Who would build something like that? Well, Nebuchadnezzar did. Because there's something that pride does to our hearts. Listen carefully. And I want you to hear something very carefully. It's one thing I've learned in my life over the years of being a Christian. That what pride does in our hearts, it makes us bigger in our own minds than what we are. Do you hear that? It makes us bigger in our own minds than what we are. In other people's minds, it makes us smaller. Really? You're doing that? You're thinking that? And it shrinks their perception of us. But in our mind, it's become like giants. Invincible. Always right, never wrong. When's the last time you said to somebody, I'm sorry, I was wrong? And so pride has a way of doing that. And what Nebuchadnezzar did was he was in a position where he thought, let me reveal how great we are. Now God used that, of course, as God always does. God's not limited by our pride in the sense of what he has to do. Daniel chapter 2, we'll look at a verse. And what God is doing in Nebuchadnezzar here is revealing something quite significant. You can do this, Nebuchadnezzar. And you can make people worship this thing. But it's all going to come down to nothing. Remember he tried? Remember he tried to make people worship when the sound was made? And remember he tried to make people worship on demand? Well, that wasn't going to work. That wasn't going to work. So what God's people did was this. We can't do this. We can't do this. We can't be a people who worship at the sound of the music. Yeah? We can't go with the beat of the drum. What we have to be is a people who are prepared to live out our faith authentically, knowing that it might have consequences. I see this as a time and a place where we're always loving God above ourselves, always. The need to love God above ourselves. Now, I don't want us to understand something here. When we're loving God above ourselves and not hating on ourselves, but when we're loving God above ourselves, we're prepared to say, Lord, it's your truth, and your truth will always stand above my opinion. And I'm always going to live life and enjoy life, but do it in a way that's selfless. And I'm going to be committed to walking humbly with my God and be very careful for the pride that makes me feel bigger than what I am. Paul says in Corinthians, and he died for all, that's Jesus, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Are we no longer living for ourselves, but for him who died and rose again for us? That's what really matters. So, if we go back to chapter 2, this is when the king had the dream. And God is revealing the dream to Daniel when all the astrologers and the magicians didn't even know it. Remember, the king said, I'm not going to tell you my dream. You tell me my dream. And then you interpret it. And everyone's thinking, you serious? You've lost your mind. Tell us your dream and we'll interpret it. And he's saying, no, I know what you're up to. You tell me my dream and you interpret it. And of course, God reveals it to Daniel. And Daniel approaches the king. Look at verse 27 of chapter 2. And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And he has made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made them known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, that you may know the thoughts of your heart. I love this. And Daniel, in his kind of humility and his faithfulness, says to the king, what do you think God revealed this to me, Nebuchadnezzar? He didn't reveal this to me so that, oh, because I'm somehow better than everybody else. He revealed this so you could see the thoughts of your heart. You could see the secrets of your heart. You know, beautiful how God does that? You ever been reading God's word or someone's been sharing something with you and you have that moment where you think, oh my goodness, I just realized something about myself. You ever had that moment? That God just reveals something about yourself, something about your heart, something about your condition, something about your motives, something about your thoughts, and you realize to yourself, my goodness, that God has just revealed something that he needs to expose, that I need to deal with. And if God reveals it, God's going to deal with it. Yeah, true. And isn't it kind of God to do that? How unkind of God to be like, oh, I know it's in your heart, but I'm not going to tell you. So rather than us panicking, we say, God, thank you. Thank you when someone comes to me and says something and it reveals something in my heart. Thank you when I'm reading your word and you reveal something in my heart, because it's got to be dealt with. And it'd be unkind of God to keep it secret. But God is the revealer of secrets. So as he reveals things in our hearts, and often it's the sin or the motivation of our heart, God reveals that to us. He does it so we can deal with it. And if God reveals it, he will deal with it, because that's God. Rather than thinking to ourselves, it's too hard. God does not want us to remain captive to the sinful motives and intentions of our heart. He wants us to be free. And so Daniel is very clear to Nebuchadnezzar, God did this. He wants you to see the secrets of your heart. He wants you to realize what's going on. And that's what took us into Daniel 6, if you just open, and I'll finish here. And what we see here is enduring faith. And in chapter 6, verse 3, the Bible says, "Now then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, 'We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God.'" What an amazing, amazing testimony. Daniel just lived out his faith. He lived it out naturally. And remember, this is some 60 years after the whole delicacy thing, yeah? Now we don't have necessarily the Babylonian king, we have the Persian Empire. And so what we have here is Daniel continuing to live out his faith, just naturally, just doing his love for God. And these people couldn't find anything about, they couldn't fault him. But hang on a second, we can. Let's pick something about his God. Let's pick on him because of his faith. Let's target that area. What a beautiful testimony. God is building our faith. God is building our lives. God is strengthening our faith. God is making us more and more selfless and in love with him. That it gets harder and harder for people to find things in us that stand out as sin. How beautiful that God is moving in our hearts in such a wonderful way that we're becoming more and more like Christ. And so Daniel, they couldn't help it. They just got really jealous, remember? They got really jealous. And we know that jealousy and envy will always make us act and speak things that are ungodly. They'll move us. When we're jealous of somebody, envious of somebody, we're going to be moved in ways that aren't good. They're not good for us. They're not good for the person. You think about the last time you were jealous or envious of someone, it wasn't a good feeling, was it? You probably said something or did something that you regret now. These guys were no different. You know that feeling of sometimes resentment when you want something that someone has? Or to be what they are and causes you to be bitter? Proverbs tells us in 14:30, "A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones." Yeah. It's rottenness to the bones. It's why Cain killed Abel. But I'll leave you with this thought. How about we were a people that loved God so much? We're selfless in the way we lived, humble in the way we walked. But rather than being envious and jealous, we did this. We did what the Bible asked us to do. How about this? How about we rejoice with those who rejoice? Wouldn't that be beautiful? Oh, something really good happened for you. Rejoice with them. Oh, I'm so, so happy, brother. Sister, I'm rapt for you. I rejoice with you. Because we are genuinely happy. We rejoice with those who rejoice. I think that's got a hint of Christ in it, doesn't it? I find the Christian life is so liberating, brothers and sisters. I find it so liberating when we care less about the opinions of others and we're just in love with God and those around us. I find it's very simple, and I hope we don't complicate it as Christians. Yeah? Let's pray. As we bow our heads this morning and just come to reflect on the Word of God, and we have a very sincere love for Him and for others, this morning I pray that we, in simplicity, come before the Lord and just tell Him of our love and commitment to Him. That despite the pressures that might come our way, or the motives and tensions of the heart that arise within us that we know shouldn't be there, rather than acting upon them and dwelling on them and being bound to them, we allow God to reveal them and bring them to the Lord, who will deal with them and free us and shape us and make us more and more like His Son. And while the feeling and the thought itself isn't the problem or the sin, because that's just where we live in a nature like this, we know and trust that we don't ever want to become bound to these things or dictated by these things. We are men and women free in Christ, free because of the blood of the Lamb, and that we should rejoice this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your ongoing faithfulness. Thank you for your promises. And thank you for your love, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.